This is Dodging Death with Stephen Williams Jr. and Ryan Patton.
Oh no.
Can you hear me and stuff?
I can hear you, but you're very still. It's a bit scary.
I'm back. I'm back.
You are, but Paul, I was already in the flow of what the cold open would have been. Am I going to have press the jingle button again, the theme song?
I think we need a jingle.
Paul, we've got a theme song, and I've just played it.
We haven't got a theme song, we've got a theme tune.
What's the difference?
A jingle, I want like a song, like a proper,
Give us one now, Paul, make one up.
Like a melody, like a rap.
Okay, I want to hear it.
No. Absolutely not, no. But that's what we need.
I wonder how much you'd have to pay Rick to get him to do that. Rick, I've thrown in a few beats for you. If you don't mind, you can freestyle if you fancy it, mate.
Well, anyway, I'm going to go into my main discussion point I wanted to bring up with you.
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose so. Because something very embarrassing happened to me today. A few weeks ago, I mentioned my lockdown poundage. And we've all discussed this and what we're trying to do to combat it. Your own, I mean, not my lockdown poundage. And I was putting a sock on and really quite struggled to bring my foot up to a level. And I ended up sitting on the bed and using like two hands to hoist up my foot. And I thought, this needs to change. This is not good.
You say this needs to change, but you're wiping away the crumbs of a pan au chocolat at the moment. So.
Not even wiping them away with your hand, you're licking them with your tongue to make sure you get every last crumb.
Yeah, you know what? I wish that wasn't true.
Yeah, we're in the early evening, so it's before tea time, which means you're having an appetizer of a pan au chocolat.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, it's not going to help with the lockdown poundage. I don't mean to fat shame, but it's hardly going to help with the weight loss.
The problem comes, Steve, when it's the starter and the dessert of every meal that you have.
Yeah, but that's always been my life, that, Paul. I'm addicted to the sweet treat.
Yeah.
Doing my dry January. Still going strong.
Oh, really?
20 days in, yeah.
When are you going to... So let's say the end of this month. How many days are there in January?
31.
So on the 31st, are you going to say, you know what, I don't need this in my life? Or are you going to get straight back to it?
Oh, no, I'm going to have it. But I probably won't have a drink until the 6th, the following weekend.
What's so special about the 6th, Paul?
Dry January's finished.
Yeah, but it's technically finished on the 1st of February.
I know, but the 1st of February is a Monday. So I think I'll wait until the weekend.
I'll
save myself. Yeah.
Okay. You know what? You're looking glowing.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Oh, was that Paul? You know what? I'll take a compliment wherever I can get it these days. Oh, I thought one of you were going to say something there.
I thought Paul's going to go back to his 5 kilometres.
Oh, we can talk about my 5 kilometres if you want to.
Oh, we're not going
to
talk about...
I'd like to talk about your 5 kilometres.
I've
had to drop down to 3 kilometres now, though, because the shin splints have resurfaced.
The running chat has begun.
Oh no!
tell your little anecdote, Paul. Go on.
I didn't think there'd be an audio bed for running chat.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's a mocking bed as well. I don't like that.
It is.
I should be pressing that button a lot.
That's the way for you to wrestle control back over this podcast, isn't
this
it?
This is the problem. We haven't got a button. We haven't got the dad joke button.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to start screaming at the top of my voice every time you tell one.
So the dad joke button does exist. He has recorded it, but because you two aren't here, only Stephen has control.
I hate the dictatorship of this podcast.
So to get you out like Trump.
We need Joe Biden to replace you on this podcast. I reckon he's got the time to do it as well, virtually in the White House.
So anyway, Paul, you've done a little bit of running and you've dropped it down. I saw today...
God forbid we talk about anyone else other than Steve and I.
No, is there an anecdote that accompanies that?
No, it was just general chit-chat, really.
Okay. So we saw today.
Just thought you'd be proud of me, but it's fine.
I am, Paul. I like this podcast to be a supportive network, but when I try and get the support, when I try and lean on you, it's absolutely thrown in my face. So that's why I'd like it to be a more positive environment, this podcast.
No one wants to listen to that, though.
Well, since you're now COVID-free, Ryan, have you been for a run?
Well, I had big ideas. You know, I was counting down the days for lockdown to end.
Yeah.
Self-inflicted lockdown.
Yeah.
So I could, you know, go back into the outdoors and experience the fresh air again.
Yeah.
And then when it actually came about, I realised, nothing to do really, is there? So, I went for a brief walk around the block. I listened to George Michael Outside. I thought that was quite an inky thing song. And then just rounded the block, came back home and not been out since.
Oh.
Have you got any long COVID?
Fortunately, no.
The smell and taste returned.
The taste has returned. The smell has yet to return.
But oh, really?
The smell a little bit has. So I ground some coffee today.
Yeah.
And I got a smidgen of the bean. But but not quite the overpowering aroma that I'm used to.
Well, how was your smell prior?
I was about to say excellent, but years ago, at 10 years old, my smell, sense of smell was.
You're going back a bit for this story, Ryan.
I'm spinning a yarn.
Go ahead. I'm talking to Oliver Twist over there.
At 10, my sense of smell was fantastic.
Okay.
Then at 11 years old, I was hit by a ghastly beast known as hay fever.
This ghastly hay fever was not part of your life until you were 11 years old?
No, 11 years old it started.
Really?
And then I suffered for the majority of my teenage years really badly with hay fever. And okay. I think it affected the sinuses negatively. So what was once a fantastic sense of smell, it became probably middling to average.
Yeah.
And then who knows how it's going to recover from.
No, that's true. Tell us a little bit more about your smell, Ryan. It is funny how things like that just suddenly become inflicted upon you. A friend of mine in his mid-40s suddenly became allergic to apples.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's the only person I've ever met who's ever said they were allergic to apples. So now I don't know if it's a lie.
I don't think he's wrong. How would you identify that?
Well,
I was waiting for a punchline there as well.
No. He said he just comes out in a rash.
Of red or green?
as far as I'm aware, it's both kinds.
Oh, I thought you said the rash is both colours. I was going to say, but yeah, that sounds horrible.
No wonder he stays away from them.
I'd never suspect the apple.
No.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, Kevin Spacey in Usual Suspects. I would never suspect.
Kevin Spacey in life.
Yeah, I would never go, oh, it's the apple doing this. I'd think it was everything else.
I've always trusted Miss Smith.
Yeah, wholesome Granny Smith. You never think she was meddling with your skin.
Yeah, so I don't know what happens if he does, you know, have maybe two.
Oh, wow. What if he had like an apple pie, so an apple pie filling? It's not like pure apple, is it? But
yeah, it's apple.
Do you think he'd come on and do a challenge?
Yeah.
And we could see how many apples he could eat before he like
hopefully it's
spontaneously combusted.
Hopefully it's not a fatal allergy, though. We have our first death on Dodge and Death.
We have an EpiPen at the ready just in case we need it.
Didn't Peter Andre nearly die?
We'll call it allergy.
Oh!
Get him on!
No, you know
get
what?
Him on.
You know what? I think he'll be sold on that. Even the threat of death, he'll do it for the pun.
He doesn't even have to donate to the Patreon either to get on the show.
We're recording the video of this week, and when we watch this back, we'll see the moment Paul interrupted me, the absolute fury that came over my face. It turned out it was worth it, Paul. But
the wide-eyed fury.
So I popped to the shop today, doing a little bit of the essential shopping, and saw something I haven't seen in years on the walk down.
Another human.
What is this beast? Two legs and two arms.
It was a car with eyelashes on the lights.
The lights.
I've not seen that in some time.
I always think the cars that have that, it's always either a Mini or a Beetle.
It was a Mini.
Yeah, see, it's never like, I don't know, like a Range Rover.
Oh, no. No one driving around with the Bentley with lashes.
a Ford Mondeo, a taxi driver just with lashes on there. 50-year-old Gary from Norris Green. I just thought it was a nice accessory.
It just came with the car. Honestly, I didn't do it.
It might end up a busy day on the road.
But I mean, that is a commitment, that, isn't it? That's such a conscious choice to make.
It's so, whoever does it though, the person who has it, everything in their life will be completely on brand, that matches, that they're the sort of person who's had eyelashes on the car.
She's Gin O'Clock, that one.
Exactly.
a candle that smells of Prosecco from the Range, that kind of thing.
I think it was your car. Yeah. This is all too accurate.
The other thing I wondered is, do you think it's something, I've not seen this car before, but it is on my walk to the shop. So I thought, I wonder if this is something she's put on recently, or if she put it on a few years ago and used too strong a glue and now really regrets that decision.
Maybe she was going somewhere fancy and decided that she just needed to get her lashes on to go. Like, maybe she normally shops at Asda and she's going to Tesco. So it was like, oh, I've got to have a good look here.
Got to have the lashes on for Tesco.
Well, you know what? It's hard to date in COVID times. So maybe she arranged a car date with someone and wanted to impress. Oh, yeah. I'm just going to do much before I go out.
How do you put eyelashes on a car?
I don't know.
I've never seen the eyelashes that go on the car. I've never seen the application or what they come before it applies to the car.
Ooh. Shall we have a gander?
Yeah, and a game that we can play since you're... How much do they cost?
Okay, I've just seen.
I assumed you were going to see since you were Googling, so it'll be me and Paul.
Okay, so... Layers. So you two, how much is the AOE performance car eyelashes that fits all cars, the universal? All cars.
That is
there,
very bold, considering it's purely, as we've established, for the Mini and the Beetle. They don't need to say all cars there.
They are, according to this advert, curly, sexy car headlights. Now, what do you think? How much do they
car headlights?
So, you know what? It continued. I just stopped talking. Wow. Car headlight decals. They are vinyl. Just a side note, not for motorway use because excessive speed may cause paint damage.
I thought they'd fly off. Imagine that causing a big pile on the M62. Well, it was the right lash on me Mini. 10 dead. 10 dead outside Manchester.
It says here, put on someone else's car for a hilarious practical joke. Oh, fuck yeah. Imagine in the dead of night going down your street. Applying lashes.
You think your car's getting burgled, the alarm goes off, and it's your uncle with the foot a lash on a headlight.
Oh god, you could terrorize a city doing things like that.
That's Batman's new villain. Lashman.
So tell me, how much do you think they are for the pair?
I think they're relatively cheap. I'm gonna go $14.99.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking
£22.
But I'm gonna go $16.
Okay. I'm gonna show you the fee. You'll both see it in real time.
Mm.
Oh. £2.
Oh, that
£2.95 with free delivery.
Is that pair lash though?
No, it can't be. No, no, it's a pair.
You wouldn't just get one. You wouldn't get one lash, would you? Like the front cover to Clockwork Orange.
You get a comb? Is that a comb I see further up?
You can't get a comb.
This is one of the bargains, the best bargains on the internet. This.
It's, no,
they're just the
comb.
Lashes, aren't
that's,
they? Yeah, I thought they were a comb
a
for
different
the
model.
You can straighten the lashes. Oh, the reviews.
The reviews. Oh, this
wouldn't kill.
Duchess, cheap and nasty, took them off rather quickly as the lashes were long and starting to scratch my paintwork.
What did you expect?
Two stars? That's in a one star review. That one. What was the redeeming feature? Michael Claydon, very silly, but in a nice way. Five stars.
Potentially dangerous.
Because they came off the road after going over 50 miles an hour.
Adam W. is a speed demon.
Debster 3004 bought us a present for my friend who had just put these on a pink Fiat 500. They look great. I bet you they're no longer friends.
Yeah. Thanks, Deb. Merry Christmas to you too.
I can't believe, though, that the person who put them on described the lashes as sexy.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, because that's what your middle-aged divorcee wants.
I know, yeah, but like, describing the car as sexy, it's sort of like... Remember
ultimately, it's what I want.
Remember that documentary on Channel 4 a few years ago? Well, I say a few years ago, it's probably about 10, 15 years ago, when it was the people who fell in love with the cars.
No.
Like they were sexually attracted to their vehicles.
There's some people who were like that with like trees as well, isn't there? And other objects.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You'd want to keep those people away from the exhaust pipe, wouldn't you?
Well, that must be the
point of entry.
Yeah. The orifice of choice for the car.
Unless they're just absolutely huge and you have to open the boot.
Can you send them my number?
No, because isn't there a woman who's married to like the Eiffel Tower?
Surely not.
How would you like get the Eiffel Tower?
Who signs off on that?
Like that's what a catch the Eiffel Tower is. If some Gary's just with his Ford Mondeo and Dawn's got the Eiffel Tower, how did that happen?
Is the Eiffel Tower a catch though? Because people are going in and out of it all day long.
Where's the dad joke button?
So I don't know if you've noticed, I'm currently stood up as I'm talking to you.
How would we notice?
Well, just because there's a lack of headrest behind me, and that, you know, I can do this. I'm turning for the purpose of the listener.
Yeah, but the way your back's quite rigid, so you can sort of mimic the
Thanks, Ryan. Excellent posture.
You can mimic the chair civil quite well, despite being not on a chair.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you now. I'm stood.
And, you look as though you're sitting on a hardback chair. Is what I'm
you
saying.
Look like you're sitting, yeah, because yeah.
But I'm not. Look, I can do this.
I know, but the camera is also at eye level. So how have you raised the camera?
If you were shirtless, we couldn't even see the nip. So
mine are unusually high, just slightly below the chin. So I'll tell you what I've done. Now that I work on Zoom all day long, I've raised everything and essentially created a stand-up desk.
The problem is though, I'm
doing this to see whether it's worthwhile my investing in an electronic one that goes higher and lower. So I've currently got my laptop and everything on top of boxes to raise things. And it was a real ordeal. It was like Jenga to assemble all of this.
Couldn't you just use the table prop for the floating table trick that you've got?
Well, I'm going to let you in a secret, Ryan. It wasn't actually floating.
Yeah, but obviously, though, the prop has got the ability to raise higher or lower. I know you're not actually doing it. It's an illusion. But couldn't you use the illusion and just put your laptop on it?
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
Should give it a go.
Yeah, but there's a bit more that goes into making it seem like it's floating than you are suggesting, Ryan.
Tell us.
Well, the problem is, because I've assembled all of this, I can't move it now. And I've had 6 hours on Zoom before doing this, and I'm absolutely knackered. I really want to sit down.
Why would standing up be better than sitting down?
Well, Paul, you were complimenting my posture a moment ago. Yours is like bloody Quasimodo over there. Hunched over your desktop. No, thank you.
So because you've been standing up for the last 6 hours, you've now got perfect posture. You've been sitting down for the last 9 months.
No, I know. But, you know, also sitting all day can lead to some terrible hemorrhoids. You don't want that, Paul.
Couldn't you get yourself like a proper desk chair, though?
This is a proper desk chair.
Is it?
Not the one I'm on because I'm stood. You know, I gestured to the one that's in the room.
Wait, you want to lean on the walls, though? You're like a villain in West Side Story or something.
Or a scally outside the shop. Yeah. Every time someone walks past asking you have a pack of ciggies and a bottle of vodka.
Paul, I'm much more the musical West Side Story than I am outside an off-license by yours.
Have you found the benefits of standing? Do you think does it lead to more productivity?
Just leads to a straighter back. It's the only thing straighter about them.
I thought the reason for it would be to be more productive. It's just to be
healthy. You're not supposed to be sat all day. I'm
also not meant to be stood all day.
Well, what else I'm thinking about doing is getting a desk treadmill. So it goes underneath and then you walk all day. So instead of being set, you know,
before you make any silly pitches, lockdown needs to end, doesn't it? I can see it's getting to you now. Yeah. Yeah, God, desk treadmill. There's no way that I'm going to be like on this, doing this podcast with you. Looks like you're constantly walking towards the camera, like it's the ring or something like that.
I mean, the Amarillo video.
I bought a Fitbit watch the other day for £20 and was like, God,
that's a good price, Paul.
I was thinking I'm making some impulsive purchases here, and then Steve comes on and bloody gazumps me with walking chairs.
Of course, it was going to be gazump with the idiotic purchases.
I don't appreciate this heckling at all from you two. Shall we go into the feature?
All right.
Otherwise,
do you know what you've not done?
Oh, hello, fellas.
Paul just gazumped you to it as well.
I'm gonna dip his levels. Hello, fellas.
hello, Stephen.
Hello, Williams.
Right, let's go into the feature. This feature is all I came up with three different names for this one.
Oh, narrow it down.
I can guarantee one version is Steve and one version is G. And then the other one will be maybe Steve and G.
There's two feature names for every feature now. Because we found out Steve and G rhyme.
70 episodes in.
The extent, the level of our wordplay from Shakespeare.
No, they're totally different. Each one is totally unique. Yeah.
Oh, so okay.
This is trivia all about delivery services.
Okay.
Hello?
Well, you've not said the line yet.
No.
I'm not gonna delivery service. I know they exist.
Well, so knowing that, I'll tell you the names. We have option number one, DP Stee. Paul, you didn't seem to enjoy that quite as much as I was hoping.
I was going to make a DP joke.
Yeah, I'll wait for the next one first.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be some sort of, you know, double penetration gag.
Quite the offer. About...
I thought we were still talking about the car with the boot and the exhaust.
Does seem like an open goal, didn't it?
Well, it would be after that. Option two, Hermes. Yeah. Are we liking that one more or less?
It's
become a bit Bruce Forsyth, this.
AMG sounds like a viral infection as well, though.
No, it does. I'm pretty sure he's also had it. And the final one...
Just to confirm, I have not had AMG.
The final one, Royal Mail.
Oh, Jesus.
So, they're my options. What would you like this to be?
Joe, you know, fair play. They're all really good then. Solid work. I have got a soft spot for Royal Mail.
I will say, your support there, Ryan, that's the reason it's just you and I doing the radio show. So shall we go with Royal Mail?
I'd happily go for Royal Mail, but you know, it is a democracy on this podcast.
Is it? Let's go. For round one of Royal Mail.
I'm glad that I got to make the decision there.
I know, I'm kind of regretting that now, but
I'm never the dictator.
No, I know.
No.
It feels icky for that to be the case. Right. Round one. The Royal Mail Group used to sponsor Postman Pat, which is very on brand, but they stopped sponsoring him, saying the character no longer fitted their corporate image, which begs the question, what did Postman Pat do?
I think he stole the money out of birthday cards. Postman Pat was taking tenners out. Like,
I reckon Postman Pat was on the front of the Mail with some shocking headline of what he'd done that weekend.
Already done that thing where he didn't test to see if people were in, just posted the delivery note to pick it up at the depot.
Sorry, we missed you.
Yeah. he was caught on CCTV doing it, not knocking. You lazy bastard, Pat.
Coughed on every letter before he posted it through a door.
So my question to you is, what year did the Royal Mail stop sponsoring Postman Pat? Was it in 1997? Was it in 2000? Or was it in 2003?
Ooh. I thought I was going to go well more recent than any of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll go 2003.
Mm. I'm going to go 97. I reckon Tony Blair and Postman Pat have a fallout.
Okay. Ryan, you said 97,
yes.
The year of Blair becoming into our government as our prime minister, or 2003, Paul?
Yep.
Both
do not
of
know
you...
any significant events from 2003.
2003, Liverpool won the Worthington Cup.
Move on, Steve.
Both of you are incorrect. Oh. It was the year 2000.
Maybe Pat was like one of those Y2K conspiracy theorists. I thought he was going about the millennium bug.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't get it, because I'm pretty sure Busted sang about that.
That was the year 3000.
Was it?
Yeah, it's just 1,000 years out there.
Just the whole millennium out.
Let's go for round two. Okay. Round two. Where was the first post office in America located? Was it in A, a bar, B, a deli, or C, a man's house? I cannot tell you the name of the man.
Was it Pat? What? He was the original postman. Do you know what? I think there's something in there. I think this is a second Postman Pat themed question, and I'm going to go see a man's house, and that man's name was Patrick.
Okay.
Ooh. I'll go a bar.
A bar. Are we locking in these answers?
Yeah, final answer.
I'll lock in bar.
Okay. The bed is being dipped. I can reveal one of you has it correct. And that person is Paul G. Oh,
yeah.
The reason I couldn't tell you the name of the man was because he didn't exist. No. Let's go with round three. Okay, round three. The Royal Mail had its own underground train line. So my question to you is, what was it called? Is it A, Mail Rail? Is it B, the Special Delivery Line? Or is it C, the Royal Mail Group Train Service?
Oh, if it's not Mail Rail, they've absolutely had a shocker, haven't they? I mean, it has to be Mail Rail, because if there's a creative bone in the body of anyone who was behind that, they'd go for Mail Rail.
Well, are you locking in Mail Rail, Ryan?
I'm gonna go Mail Rail. I think they were a playful bunch.
Okay.
I think it was Mail Rail, but I'll go for C in the interest of the game.
And also, the Royal Mail Group Train Service.
Yeah. Also, that's the name that I probably would have given if I was.
There's not a playful bone in his body. Well, I can confirm. One of you has it correct. And it is Ryan Patton.
Yes, it had to be Mail Rail.
I'm delighted it was Mail Rail.
Yeah.
I thought throwing in some incredibly boring ones would sway you there, but now you're straight in.
Can you imagine the frustration if they had gone for one of the boring ones and then realised they could have had Mail Rail years later? Oh my God, someone's getting sacked. Blame it on Pat.
So that means that Ryan, you have 2 points. Paul, you have 0. But
no, it doesn't. It means that we have 1 point each. Keep up.
Does it?
Yes.
Oh, actually, yeah, because you said in a bar, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I don't think I got a point, to be honest.
You did, didn't you?
You've
Mail
just
Rail
got the last point.
Oh yeah.
Moments ago, Ryan. Okay, so it's still up in the air. Both of you could still win this. So let's do the bonus round. The bonus round is this.
I feel like I'm about to solve a crime in like, on like The Bill or something like that. Me and Todd Carty.
No, I feel like
I was our weakest link. I feel like whatever her name is.
Oh, it is a bit Anne Robinson.
Anne Robinson's going to start shouting at me and telling me that I'm an idiot.
Well, I nearly did when you interrupted me before, Paul. Okay, so the final round, the bonus round. How many elastic bands does the Royal Mail use each year? We're alluding back to a feature I had a couple of months ago called bungee cord.
Are you repeating a question?
Which was named at the time the worst feature to ever be on this show.
I can't believe you're reusing material.
You could have used how many letters are delivered each year by the Royal Mail.
Yeah, there's lots of postal content.
There wasn't a tension bed when we did bungee cord, so... How are you feeling about it? They use an awful lot of elastic bands. Or do they?
You love elastic band trivia. I can't... You get such a thrill out of an elastic band. Who's going first?
Oh.
I'm happy for you to go first, Ryan.
Oh, you say that because I then provide the ballpark then. Okay. It's very casualty, that.
This whole episode's casualty.
It is like you're about to rob a bank with Ben Stiller.
I'm going to go for...
Oh no. We ran out of that tension bed. I'm going to need to press it again. Oh,
okay.
Okay. Now you can say who you're going to go for, Ryan.
I'm going to go for 10 million.
10 million elastic bands a year.
10 million. But does it count if they reuse? If someone recycles an elastic band, does that count as... two or one?
We're talking your single use elastic bands.
Okay, I'm still gonna go 10 million.
Okay, Paul.
I'll go 40 million.
40. Now, what was your actual first guess there, Paul, that hasn't been influenced by Ryan?
I thought about 20 million originally.
Okay.
So I'm gonna lower it to 14.
Okay.
Based on Ryan's guess.
We have 10 million and 14 million. Do you not think 10 is a bit too rounded, Ryan?
It's too rounded.
I mean, it's a very neat number, isn't it?
I hope you've locked this in.
Well, it's, I'm not going to go... Okay, do you want 10 million?
No, no, I don't mean to give like hundreds. I just mean Paul's gone for 14 million, so it's a bit, you know, a bit more ambiguous.
Well, that's just as rounded. It's on the million.
Yeah, it's on the million, but it's not on the tens of millions.
Eleven. No, I can't change your answer.
No, you're too late, Ryan. I'm just saying. I'm gonna...
Okay, 11,555,433.
Oh, ridiculous guess. Okay.
So we're doing it rounded.
We have 10 million and 14 million. One of you is closer, but you're both shockingly off with it, like ridiculously so. So much so, I almost want to award the point to neither of you. Because the actual number is 342 million elastic bands a year.
You love that fact. Even though you leapt into it, you wanted that to get like such a gasp of like, what, 342 million? That's insane. Yeah,
I'm still waiting for it.
It is a lot. It's a big
amount.
When I said 10, 20 million, my original thought was about 60 million.
Oh,
right. I said to you, what was your original thought?
I thought I have a point because he's lying now.
When Ryan said 10 million, I thought if I go 60 and it's like 20 million, he would have won because he would have been closer. So that's why I played the tactical game.
Mm. Yeah, but even when you were pressed of what your real answer was, you were still playing a tactical game.
I lied and I panicked, but it's I got the point. So.
No. I'm very disappointed in you, Paul. Nevertheless,
he engages in a dark art in this feature, and you know, and it's not pretty.
It's not.
I got the point, and I'm getting the golden toilet.
Okay, well, Paul, that means you now have 14 points on the leaderboard. Ryan, if you'd got that, you would have been in double digits. I know. Well, anyway, let's do the Discover Steam.
Discover Stee.
I feel like we're flying through this episode tonight purely because you want to just keep pressing the buttons.
Yeah, you're bored with chat now.
Like
you want 45
minutes.
That's directly. Is this a shorter episode than we'd anticipated?
Definitely. Yeah. Oh. Could you just keep pressing buttons?
Oh, shall I stop the Discover Stee bed?
We can do a Discover Stee.
Okay, I've stopped the bed.
Your trigger happy with the Rodecaster Pro?
No, that's true. I am. My finger is forever poised over these music beds. Okay. Do we need another anecdote, Paul? I'm gonna throw you in. So match an anecdote.
What?
Match an anecdote, Paul.
What's this?
Like I'm in a bar in like the Benidorm Strip or something like that.
don't tell an anecdote about that time, Paul. Okay, well,
was that it?
What are you doing?
Was that really, you've lost your mind? You need to sit down.
Have you been drinking?
Was that royalty free? That sounded like, I don't know, like...
Yeah, that was royalty free.
Oh, because it didn't sound like that. I thought it was going to be like, I don't know.
Oh, Brian, that sounded royalty free. A repetitive loop like that.
Yeah, but I thought that was going to be, I don't know, like... my house music knowledge isn't that great, so I was going to say David Guetta. What about like...
Like a foam party in Las Vegas, Ryan.
I've never been to a foam party.
Oh,
I've never been to a foam party. No,
Do you think they'll survive the post COVID?
Surely not.
I feel like the JMs will probably live amongst the foam. So
if they do it with bleach, though, according to Donald Trump, you'll be absolutely fine. It might be the safest place in the world to go.
Yeah, you'd all come out blind and with hair like him as well.
COVID free.
Yeah, bleach party.
I think it would be a tough sell with that title, though. You'd be hard pressed to find someone to buy tickets to that.
to the bleach party?
Yes.
What if you call it, like, the bash of the bleach or something like that?
I don't know. If you can come up with a snappy title good enough for a feature name, then maybe.
Bleach on the beach.
Oh, here we go.
No.
There you go.
Bash of the bleach is better than
that. I'm picturing it now.
Bash at the Bleach was better.
Bash at the Bleach.
No, what year
is this?
Was in 1960.
No, Bleach on the Beach.
Yeah, but I'm saying Bash at the Beach. Bash at the Bleach.
Whoever says what, Bash at the Beach, though?
Bash at the Beach is the name of a WCW pay-per-view, so that's probably why that reference isn't quite landing. WCW, the company that went out of business in like 2003.
I don't know what WCW is.
Either do I. I feel like you're just talking in riddles at the minute.
It's a wrestling promotion.
I think you and Steve have both gone absolutely insane. He's both need to sit down and get out.
For the love of God, can lockdown be over, please?
I just want to go to a phone party if that seems to ask.
Okay, well look, I just before everything falls apart.
Discover Steve.
I'm starting to wish we just stuck with it the first time we tried to get through this.
I do like that jingle though.
Do you like it?
I like that's my favourite of the new additions to the show. That is definitely my favourite.
Ooh,
I think it's very Cluedo.
Yeah, well, yeah, Cluedo, as I've always said, is my game. So that's probably is why I enjoy it.
Yeah, but you make this claim, but neither Paul and I have ever played Cluedo with you.
Do you know we should play a virtual game of Cluedo?
Oh God, for pleasure or for the podcast?
Neither.
For both. Oh my God, that's the last time I suggest something fun. It's absolutely again. I try to make this podcast a supportive network. I suggest the game of Cluedo for us to all join in virtually because we've not seen each other. And oh, what a dickhead. Tell you fact.
How would it even work?
Well, we'd all have our boards. Oh, I don't know.
Separate boards.
Yeah, well, I've got
collector's edition over there.
No, I've got normal Cluedo with your plums and your mustards. And then I've got your Simpsons Cluedo with Krusty the Clown and Marge and that in it.
Oh, I don't like
Ryan's
that one.
What Ryan's done is suggest them playing the one game that he's got a board of.
Yeah. He's got many variations of Monopoly, which he's not using.
If we had Monopoly, we'd be playing Monopoly all night.
Yeah, no, Monopoly. I haven't got Monopoly. Do you know what? Have I got my Cluedo to hand? I might do, actually.
Of course you do. You've got always ready access to Cluedo.
Oh, do you know what? I haven't got ready access to Cluedo, but...
He's going to be pitching virtual Kaplunk next.
Monopoly?
Ah!
we could play virtual Monopoly for a mammoth episode of the podcast. That's the thing with Monopoly. Too long.
It is. Words I rarely say. Okay, well, let's brainstorm that off air. Let's see if it's even possible.
Yeah, but also with Monopoly as well.
I don't need the Monopoly. Ryan, forget Monopoly.
No, I'm just saying, it's quite hard to get on the property lads at the moment, isn't it? So to play Monopoly, it's a bit frustration. It's like,
no, that's true.
Frustration's a good game to play.
I like frustration.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, frustration.
You press the button.
Yeah, it's not very frustrating. It's very satisfying because you press it's like a plastic dome in the and that contains the dice, doesn't it? And then you press that sort of downwards like so. And then it rolls the dice and then you move. You've got like five people, not five people, it's like five colours that you've got to get back to home. It's a good game. It's a good game. Yeah, I turned to Bruce Forsyth there. Bruce Forsyth on frustration. Good game. Good game. Modest as ever.
What about Operation? We should play that.
I've never good at Operation. As I've said before, I'm not very dexterous. So.
No, that's true.
Yeah. You've got a steady hand. Yeah, I imagine you'd be terrible on one of them electric machines. Where you've got to get the ring around.
Well, do you remember the TV show? I've spoken to this before. A TV show called Friends Like These.
No.
No.
It was presented by Ant and Dec in like the late 90s, early 2000s. And it was when a group of friends got together, a group of five. So we wouldn't be able to get the assemble the team.
Numbers.
Yeah. That wasn't Josh. We'd have to get Ant or Dec to fill in. And you like nominated a member of the team to form a series of challenges against another team. And one of them was the
steady hand challenge.
The steady hand across. What's that called?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, this because obviously this is an audio medium, so probably should describe it rather than me just gesturing what you do to complete the game.
So, okay, beat the buzzer. It's called, or actually, don't buzz the wire. I don't think there's a catch-all name for it.
You did it. I was going to say, that's not right.
There's another one that's just called buzz.
Well, I suppose it does buzz, doesn't it? Once you get
it buzzes. Don't worry about that.
Once you touch the metallic wire.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
My point is, you wouldn't nominate me for that sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely not. I think you've got a natural tremor, which would not be conducive to that game.
I also think I'd probably be quite crap at all the challenges on Friends Like These, so you probably wouldn't even take me on board with your group.
Well, I've thought many times that we should start applying for game shows. And I feel like I always mention this to you.
I think I'd be good on, like, I don't know, Millionaire, maybe. I think it'll be all right at that.
Well, this is the problem. My general knowledge is lacking, but that's where you really build it up. But then we'd be on. You're the one answering the questions. I'm there for the tete-a-tete.
Well, why can't I perform in a tete-a-tete?
You need me alongside. So I'm saying we need that toing and froing.
What would I do?
You're in the audience, Paul.
Chiming in with a one-liner every now and then. You're Ingram. You're Ingram's Dr. Coffin. Yeah, but you've got the book that you use for the Discover Stay. And we're just hoping that random facts. Is there that one there, Paul?
I swear to God, if we get to Millionaire and the final question is how many elastic bands do the Royal Mail use?
Oh, imagine that. We'd have like a Slumdog Millionaire sort of flashback where we think back to this episode of the podcast. With Millionaire though, I probably would need you alongside me, because me and Clarkson would not have a natural rapport.
No, but would it be allowed for me to be there with Clarkson, because it would seem like it's collusion?
Oh yeah, but I don't reckon he still remembers you, to be honest. Does he? So.
He remember. I was.
You do not know Clarkson.
I know Clarkson.
Why are you name dropping on Dodge and Death with bloody Jeremy Clarkson?
Yeah,
I was a big part of the tour.
When you get to like the £1,000 milestone, and he sort of asks you about your background, you'd have like an embarrassing thing with him, when you'd be, oh, well, me and Jeremy know each other very well. And he'd be like, no idea.
I sung Sweet Caroline with Clarks and he handed me the mic.
Yeah, and he'd be like, bullshit. I don't care if it's pre-watershed. That is a load of bollocks. Final answer.
Okay, so are we doing Discover Steel or what?
Well, we've had the bed on for a while now, haven't we? So.
Yeah, we have. I'm concerned it's going to run out shortly. Wouldn't be the first time. So I've got quite a good one this week, actually.
I've got an all right one.
Okay, well, let's get yours out of the way then.
Yeah, so, you know, it's Inauguration Day today, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I was looking at the history of presidents, and I found out a fact about Barack Obama.
Okay.
Barack Obama is ninth cousins.
To you.
No, to you. I knew we'd get that one as a ninth cousins. Ninth cousins with Brad Pitt.
I mean, yes, it's quite good, but, you know... It's still a long way away. Paul, I noticed you were looking through the book. So we should always end on the book probably, because it's the most accurate of facts. So I heard, do you know why the barber's poles, you know the barber's poles?
Yeah, no. Like the red and white.
The red
things.
And white spinny ones.
Yeah.
Do you know why they're a thing? I'll tell you. So I suppose that's the whole point of this feature. Oh, our bed is gone.
Oh, God.
Oh, you can't introduce it again.
Discover Stee.
I've only got it with Rick built in at the beginning now. So if we need
the,
to...
That's been the third time it's been said in this episode.
Yeah, but Ryan started banging on about Operation.
You brought Operation. I okay, well, about, let's I not suggested a playful game of Cluedo.
One of us suggested it. Who knows? So, I back in the day, the barbers.
Any fact that started back in the day, like,
back in the day, back in my day,
back, when I was a boy.
Back in the day, the barbers used to be giving injections to people, you know, like immunizations and vaccinations. The barber, the barber shop used to be the one doing that because it would have the steady flow of people.
Oh, and you qualified.
Well, you know, I don't know. This is back in the day. Who knows?
I am not going to the Turkish barbers on Walton Vale for my second COVID jab.
Yeah, you can get. You know,
I'll have my vaccine and a three on the side, please. Yeah.
A short back inside and Hep B, please. But yeah, so they used to, the barber used to be the one who give you your injections while you were there, because you were there anyway. And then
whilst I was there, I might still get the MR jab.
And then the two art forms kind of veered away from each other. And that is a little nod to yesteryear.
Well, why though? What is the reason why?
Because of the blood from the needles and stuff.
Oh, I get you. Yeah. So it's when the needle was injected and the blood sort of mixed with the
yes.
serum.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like that was a vital part of the fact that you
left
out.
That's the least believable fact we've ever had on this show.
Paul, it's true.
Yeah, your barber told you that. Like, sort of, yeah, the noble lineage of barbers. Like, oh, we do good work as barbers. We save millions. Back in the day, when we used to give vaccines out. You know, it was a barber who cured smallpox.
And Paul, what is your fact?
I don't know. Give me a page. Oh. I could also give you another fact, though, which I found strange about the American election.
I've just Paul, I'm gonna need to interject with you. Oh, I've God. Just had a text message. Gary Barlow is 50 today.
I thought it was going to be like he needs to self-isolate or something.
No,
I thought it was going to be that Gary Barlow is following the page.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, he enjoyed that most recent ad.
Yeah, he's... I tell you, he looks incredible for his age.
Oh, yeah, he looks all right.
He does. He looks amazing for 50 years old.
He does. He looks well. But
happy birthday, Gary Barlow. Are you not going to wish him well?
No. Only from one member of the team, Barlow.
And he starts paying his taxes, he'll get a happy birthday.
Exactly. Tax this, tax that. Paul, just give us a fact.
So Joe Biden, who's the new president of America, is only the second Catholic.
Who wouldn't be aware of that, Paul, listening to this? You didn't need to throw
well,
that
there
in.
There was people getting, gangs getting broken up by the police this week who claimed they had no idea about the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, an obvious lie, but just...
How could you prove that was a lie, though?
Like, yeah.
I was wondering why...
Now I know.
I was wondering where everyone had gone.
Wearing masks. That's why Next is closed. Oh, God.
Yeah, but so Joe Biden is only the second Catholic president of the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that until now.
I know that is a good fact, actually.
I thought every
Who
single
was
one
the first one?
John F. Kennedy.
Yes, Kennedy.
Well played,
the first
Ryan.
Catholic president.
I thought they all were.
No, I thought they were all religious.
They? Yeah, but a lot of them like evangelical.
I'd like to be the first British homosexual atheist president.
Could you? You couldn't even legally run, could you?
No, I couldn't. No.
Yeah. Why?
Because I'm British.
Oh, in America? Oh, I thought you said Prime Minister.
Oh no,
you could run here.
I mean, I guess.
You'd get very far. Is that what you're practicing
no,
for?
Paul,
your
I'm very convincing and engaging.
You need to set up a party, though, or do you just run as an independent?
Oh, you know what? When you said it, I totally thought you meant like a bleach on the beach kind of situation there.
Yeah, you should call your political party the Bash of the Bleach. See how that takes off. No,
that name isn't going to catch on, Ryan. We've got another one.
It's more catchy than bloody Lawrence Fox's one, whatever party he invented.
Right, well, good to see you, fellas.
Good to see you, Stephen. Good to see you.
We got there. We got to the end. Who knew this would have been possible halfway through that episode?
The bed's over.
So, you can follow us. Oh, you know what you need to do. You can follow us on Insta, on Patreon. I had Rick record, actually, a new on Patreon kind of voice.
I think you're Rick, because your impression of Rick gets better every... Ooh. I think you're living like a sort of dual lifestyle where you've invented this voiceover artist that you pay money for, and it's actually you.
So do you think I'm taking money from the side from this podcast?
You're skimming money off the top, basically, is what I'm saying.
So you can follow us on Patreon. How do they do that, Ryan?
Patreon.com/DodgingDeathPodcast.
Now, Ryan and I are doing a weekend breakfast show. It was 2 days a week. Now it's only the one. We're doing this... We're going to be putting.
No. Our hours have been cut. That's not what the poor lad's not what's happened. It's not.
Have you done a show yet?
We Saturday and Sunday last week. This week.
It was reviewed and cut down.
This week, Saturday.
Next week.
I don't want to go into the details what's happened, but that's not what's happened.
Yeah. So the breakfast show is now on our podcast feed, and it's cut without the music, but on our Patreon we can have it with the music. Oh. And there are some bangers, Ryan.
Oh, it's banger after banger.
Oh yeah. Oh. And we tell stories that don't get told on this show, if you can believe. There's more chat.
There's yet more chat, and we use the songs as inspiration to spark the chat.
To give you a little tidbit, Paul, Ryan said to me between songs, he went, you know what we should do for this, because it's a breakfast show. He said, can we make all of the songs based around breakfast items? So
I was thinking, right, you assemble the breakfast dish with songs. So my example was jam on toast, but so you did, I knew this would get this reaction. But so I'd play like a song by the Jam, and that'd represent the jam aspect of the breakfast dish.
Would represent the toast?
Well, there's not a band called Toast, so I'd have to research that a bit further.
As I say,
what's that song in Matilda, like omelet? Is it say omelet?
Well, if there's an omelet song in Matilda that needs to be played, tune in this weekend.
Yeah, but as I say, only on Saturday.
For the breakfast medley.
And you can email us with anything. What's our email address, Paul? It's dodgingdeathpodcast@gmail.com.
If you already email in your breakfast song, you know, to be played on the show.
We'll do your bit, Paul.
At Dodging Death Podcast.
You can email Ryan and I separately. It's ryan@xoradio.uk and stephen@xoradio.uk.
I'm imagining that inbox is very empty.
Good to see you, fellas. I will see you next week.
See you next week.
Death a 5-star review on iTunes.
I had the slider down, so I cut off the beginning of his little sentence there, but you get the idea.